welcome Director Rick Gillespie, Director Ryan Dyson, our cast, Carl Carroll, Andrew Wilton, Andrew Boots, Christopher Miss Floss, and of course, from the original Friday Night, and also from this one, Christopher Randall. So we'll take questions. We have night casters on both sides, if you guys will hold your hands. And the first question you have over here.
Jerry ends what they were fighting for. If they were fighting for a lump of meat, Jerry. If they were fighting for the love of a woman, I'm afraid Colin would have me.
Good answer.
Hi there. This question is for Marty. I just wanted to hear a little bit about from you about what your approach to sort of taking a classic movie and updating it for a new audience.
You know, I think I was lucky in that I wasn't aware of quite how classic it was when I first took it on, and I stayed away from the internet. So, I was very lucky because the original movie has such a great premise and such good characters to work with. And also, you know, in the 25 years since the original was made, the world has changed a lot. So the boys would be a lot more aware of genre convention. They'd be a lot more aware. They live in a Twilight universe, these kids. So I wanted to be really respectful to the original, but there were a lot of ways that I felt like the movie could explore some character stuff a little differently now. So it was just a challenge of, you know, the things we knew we wanted to stay true to and the places where we needed to reinvent. And then, you know, of course, Craig and the actors did such a great job bringing, I think, the fun and the heart that was in the original. So I think it sort of walks that line pretty well.
Or you're on the right.
Can you talk about the similarity between the new Jerry Dandridge and Norwood?
They both need blood to survive. The old Jerry Dandridge, as I remember, was I first experienced him when I was when I first laid eyes on Jerry, Chris and Jerry, when I was 11 or 12. Was incredibly debonair, had a certain dignity to him, felt like an intellectual, felt incredibly cultured. Suave. My guy's kind of none of those things. My guy kind of felt more like a social parasite. Felt like somebody who really did enjoy the threat that he posed to those around him, if indeed he allowed or exposed himself to those around him or allowed those around him to know who he was. My guy would be nothing without fear, without the fear that he could instill in people. He felt like he was somebody that treated humans like a cat treats a ball of wool as playthings, not just a source of sustenance, but playthings. But kind of brutal. I got the chance to play a brutal vampire, somebody who wasn't really concerned with anything, with love, had no fear, no human virtues that would be recognizable at all. Just somebody who traveled the world for 400 years and possibly got a bit tired of his own company, but was violent and brutal and very much had kind of the MO of a serial killer, it would seem.
But you had hotness.
Did I not say that? I used to say it. I said it in my head. People usually judge me when I say such things.
Hot. Over here, everyone.
Yeah. Hi, Colin and Andrew. Yeah. Were you both fans of the vampire genre in general, and what kind of research did you do? Did you go into the library and watch all kinds of vampire movies?
It's, you know, obviously it's tricky to do research and you can't be walking down the 3rd Street Promenade at Santa Monica and have a nibble on some punter's neck, you know, excuse me. But, or maybe you can, but, maybe I did back in the day. But I loved vampire films since I was young. Lost Boys and Bigelow's Near Dark and Fright Night itself, along with many incarnations of the Dracula myth. So yeah, it was just, I mean, I was seeped in the kind of lore already that made the idea of playing a vampire really, really attractive to me as a fan, and that's what I approached at first. And that's not always how you approach films. Sometimes when you read them as an actor, you approach them just as a human being, not as even as an actor, just as a man or a woman, and you see how the piece affects you. Well, this I really approached as a fan of film and as a fan of this particular film. So it was kind of double hard to win me over because I was very dubious as to how wise it may be to revisit material that a lot of people felt was kind of sacrosanct.
Back in the middle on the array.
Colin, has being a father made you choose your movie roles a little bit more carefully?
Yeah, I like only playing savage killers now. I don't know. Yeah, everything changes everything, you know. Everything changes everything. So I'm sure it's informed my choices in some way, but I don't know. I don't have a clear definition of what those ways would be.
They're telling us you have to go to home.
Okay, really? Cool. Okay. See you all. Thanks.
Stop it.
Thank you.
Stop.
I'll see you in a little bit. See you later.
I'm continuing way over on the
side. Imogen, this one's for Imogen. Having in your two most recent projects, you've worked with the two most recent Doctor Whos. How do you assess the chances of David Tennant, Brian Knight, and Matt Smith becoming big Hollywood movie stars?
They've got this exceptional ability to take on these human beings who are essentially creatures. Both of them share that. David is hysterical, and the way he moves, the way he has embodied Peter Vincent, it's fascinating to watch them from a place of London. I recognise them from the television of that character in Doctor Who, which is such a big deal in the UK now we're here. So I suppose with the character of Doctor Who, they're constantly adapting to different forms and different situations. So it's a real journey that they go on with that role. So it enables them to branch out and take on these fantastic roles and win them.
Thank you. You're on the right side.
Yeah, this is for nothing. Is the new film going to retain some of the campy, whimsical feel of the original, or how would you describe it going to capture that element of it?
It absolutely retains some of the humor, and you know, in particular, Christopher and David Tennant are you know, very comic in their portrayals, but in a very grounded way, I think. What do you think?
No, it's we try to approach this with, like, sort of twofold. One is that, you know, my script, there's genuine, like, sort of horror and thriller moments and suspense, and that was always at the forefront for me. That, you know, Jerry was always somebody that you know, put that tension on the screen. And then we have the humor that can give you a little break from that every once in a while. And as much as Christopher and David are very funny, their characters were always coming from a very real place, and everybody was really, you know, in that reality of what was going on. So we got this great balance.
I think what we try to do is make the characters people who are funny in a very scary situation. You know, as opposed to let's make a very funny, scary situation. It was just, what would you really say if you had a weird sense of humor in this particular particular instance?
Right,
concern.
I have a question for Anton. Anton, it looks like this role actually requires a lot of physicality on your part.
What I would have done to what?
What you've done to prepare in terms of your action sequences, or were you involved in any?
Did you work out like a fiend? Is what she's asking.
Yeah. Did you get to see Anton's six pack in this?
You did.
Part of the movie is the last shot of the movie is Anton. Shit. There's only one part of the movie.
It's the whole movie.
Like,
shot.
It's a girl, right?
Oh, man. I don't know. I don't.
You're not working.
It says push. I've been pushing. That's the story of my life. Yeah, I didn't really. I don't know. We didn't really do anything. Most of the prep is for the emotional sort of journey of the character. Chris and I did. You know, we rehearsed the fight sequences quite a bit because it was such a choreographed piece. You know, our fight that we had. I don't know. Probably 2 or 3 days rehearsal for that, and then the more you do it, the more it just becomes sort of a natural thing, I think, and you just hope that you don't smack the other person with
another
axe. I hate you all night, and the moment the first lady said focus, I hate you.
Yes.
so there wasn't a lot of, you know, physical preparation. But there was a lot of physicality to it, and it's fun. That's like, I feel like when you're doing that, it really feels like a filmmaking thing, you know? It's just like movies, you know? You're literally going, you know, you feel like you're on a ride, you know? And it's just fun. It's like being a little kid.
Question right over here in front.
I'm a huge fan of the original Fright Night. I can't wait to see this version. Chris, I'd love to get your perspective on, I don't know if you've seen this version of Fright
Night. I have. Okay. I saw it last week, and I think it's just brilliant. I think it's wonderful, John.
So I'd like to get your perspective on what surprised you the most about seeing it in 3D, and Craig, if you wanted to add anything about any cliches you wanted to avoid, you know, doing a horror film in 3D.
Well, I think that what you're looking for with 3D is not, you know, spears and things coming at you. But when I was a kid, that's what we went to 3D movies for. You know, we put the paper glasses on and we had the natives throwing things at us. I think, essentially, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, that what Craig was looking for was really a sort of sense of depth and texture of using the 3D. It wasn't used for the purposes of its being a gimmick, but to give, to enhance the experience of the movie, and that's what it does.
Yeah, it was really fun. You know, very early on, the 3D came up, and then, you know, what was enticing for me is, you know, we've seen the large spectacles, obviously, of Avatar, Alice in Wonderland, these huge worlds, but to see two guys talking in a kitchen with that tension, and when I feel like you want to look around your shoulder and see more of what's going on, or just the intimacy of like a horror movie where you can go down more ways and just that thriller aspect, having that depth was exciting.
Back here, sir.
Hi guys, so this question is directed at both the cast and then everyone is on the panel. First question is, when you're stepping into a role where someone has already kind of done that before, do you find it difficult at all to find your own lane? And then the second question is, if you guys can use the soundbite, why should go and see this movie? What's unique about this one?
Who's going to start there? Anton, go for it.
I think it really depends upon what the material is and how the relationship of the original film is to sort of what you're trying to accomplish. I know with Fright Night, I was and will be a huge fan of the original and of the performance, and I think our arc was a little bit different. It was sort of a reimagined. There's a bit of a different story, you know. In this one, it's Ed that comes to Charlie, and Charlie that doesn't believe him. So,
is this?
Oh my God, it doesn't work. and the light's not on. That's weird. You know. So in terms of looking at the characters, I tried to bring what I thought was the most honest thing to this sort of trajectory. But also, I think, in the original, when Charlie really, when his mania peaks, I think it works so well, and I just wanted to bring that to this to make sure that when his mania peaked, it was like the original. So it's really, for me at least, it was about balancing, I guess, borrowing and what you want and balancing out with what you're trying to accomplish.
Next one is in the front corner.
I was going to be bringing in any of the actors, but given now we've seen so many types of vampires, the True Blood, the sparkly Twilight ones, or even the brutal ones from like 30 Days of Night, what would be like your favorite type of vampire that you guys would think that's the vampire should be?
I mean, I think Colin did a fantastic job of just kind of bringing back the original one vampire who's, you know, he's kind of sexy, he's kind of charming, but he's just pure evil, and I think that does. You did in the original, those are my favorite types of vampires. When it's just one predator hunting down, you know, one other person, more intimate.
Yeah, that's what was exciting about the script right off the bat, is that this guy is truly a horrifying character, and you really tried, you know, from that grounded place, like, we treat him a little bit more like he is sort of this pathological serial killer. He's been living in this environment for 400 years, and he's got to feed on human blood, so we're like, how does he go about keeping people, like, you know, not being detected, and, you know, on top of that, he's got to have this charm and this charisma that seduces people, but then at the end of the day, he's detached from emotion, and that was exciting.
At one point, you pitched that he had, like, a refrigerated basement, and he would say at some point in the movie, they keep, like, turkey. Like, they stay fresh like turkey.
Way in the back.
I'm down here on the right. Vampire stories often are homoerotic, and the original movies are called unintentionally homoerotic, but can you talk about how you approach that in this film?
For me? Well, I think that, not necessarily that it's homoerotic, but I mean, he is a fair player. He's like, you know, he goes for both teams. he just needs blood, and he'll get it from wherever he needs to get it, which was interesting with this vampire, because it wasn't based so much in the emotional love story that you have in some of the classic vampires where there is this love interest that he's trying to get. This was just, you know, this is just a vampire that, you know, needs to exist, and this is how he does it.
He was definitely, he's definitely an equal opportunity, biter in ours.
As Chris may attest.
We'll wrap up here in front of you.
Hey, I saw the trailer, and, you know, when you see, you hear about something being reimagined or redone, you say, oh no, another one. I looked at the trailer, and I thought, wow, this really looks good. You know, it keeps some of the original, but it keeps its own personality. And I know, Chris, when you first heard about him doing this, were you like thinking, oh no, or give him a chance, or, you know, what was going on?
It was more give him a chance, but certainly there was a certain amount of skepticism. But then when they sent me the script and I read it, I thought, they got it. They figured out how to make it contemporary, and at the same time, make it enough of an homage so that fans of the original movie would appreciate it, and at the same time, would take them on a different kind of ride. And I think that's what this movie does.
Way in the back.
Two questions from Greg. Greg, when you think about horror films in the past 20 years, especially vampires, there's a lot of changes. Vampire was the monster, now he becomes the good guy and the prince. How did you update this film, and how do you see horror films nowadays?
Well, the thing that, you know, when I was growing up, one of my favorite horror films that I saw, you know, six times the first weekend was American Werewolf in London. And back in the 80s, they just seemed to have this way where they could mix the horror and the humor. And for some reason, over the last, you know, 20 years, it's gone to be like it's either horror or it's a comedy, and there seems to be no meshing where you can actually be on the edge of your seat and then have a good laugh. And that's what attracted me to this and really, you know, wanted me to do it.
Yeah, where you can have fun with the genre without making fun of it.
Exactly.
And I feel like the... Unfortunately, some of the movies that have tried that have veered into campy in a way that made you not believe the scary parts. So that's definitely not what this is. It's definitely not like a spoof or a romp in that way. It's just a scary movie that also lets you have real people in it.
Back up here on the floor.
This question is for Marty. Marty, it seems like vampires are basically in your blood, so to speak. What did you want to bring, or what did you bring from your history with vampires to this show? What did you want to portray for vampires in this show?
Well, it's funny, when they were saying, who's your favorite vampire, I'd have to say, like, my favorite before, you know, Jerry, was Spike when he was bad, you know. Spike before he got all soft and mushy over Buffy. So, and I still liked him, but I really, you know, I always was trying to get the guys on that show to bite something, you know. So I think that attracted me, but what attracted me about this in particular, because I turned down anything else that was vampire related, because I thought, oh, there's a way to suck. Was that the characters in the story were so real, and I could really identify with Charlie's journey in the same way that, you know, Buffy was very grounded in character. We never wrote an episode where we didn't spend a lot of time relating our personal experiences and then portraying them in this really supernatural world. And with Anton's, you know, character, I felt like there's a real story to be told about all these generations of kids now who are so steeped in pop culture and they're so into their imagination, and then they get to a certain age and it's not cool anymore. And they try to abandon that part of themselves. And then what would happen if it actually turned out to be true? Like, he'd have to change and adapt to this new world. And that felt very personal to me, so it was really fun to write.
Up against the wall over here on the left.
Thank you so much. Not since Christopher Lee or Franklin Jello or Chris Sarandon has there been a really manly, sexy vampire. Most of them are like adults playing preteens. Are you hoping this is a resurge of real men, real vampires, a real sexy, animalistic, seductive type? Or is this just one shot?
I don't know if it's a research, but what I'm thrilled about is we actually got to do it. And obviously we got to get Colin, which was, you know, a major coup because, you know, he can embody all of that. And it's just the kind of vampire that I wanted to see. So I was really excited about that.
Yeah, the Frank Langella Dracula was seminal for me. Like,
how about you, Poots?
Yeah, Poots.
I suppose it's just creating a villain that's really generation. I think Colin does that very well with Jen.
Did I bring the sexy to my memory?
Yeah, you made it sound
I think he was talking. I think he was referring to you, Chris. I'm sorry, I took that as Colin, but I meant Chris.
You're a great but you lose an arm, it's a tragedy.
We've got time for just one last question. We'll take it over. Yeah, hi, Imogen. It's for you, please. Right back here. Yeah, no worries. You're the female on the panel in the cast. What was that experience like? How did you do, and are you dating anyone?
That's a quick segue.
Nice.
So, energy. Yeah.
What is your phone number?
I had a really great time making the film. I love these boys, they're the best, and we all had a really good time, and it's a film that means a lot to me, and we filmed it in Albuquerque, which, I had a lot of fun, I really enjoyed playing this all-American girl with long blonde hair, and it was great, I had a blast making the film.
You did a great job.
Okay, now it's really the last question.
Last question.
Are you dating anybody?
Chris, I was wondering, when you watch Colin's performance, and actually the rest of you can answer this as well, when you watch Colin's performance, is there anything that you see that's like, that's an interesting choice, I wish I had thought about that, or kind of cool that he kept something in from similar to your performance?
I wasn't so taken with the stuff he kept in so much as the stuff that he invented, or you guys invented, the whole smell thing.
Yeah.
Which I think is great, because it's so wonderfully sexual and at the same time creepy, really creepy. So that was the thing that stood out to me.
Yeah.
Why did you see this movie?
It's a really fun ride. It's this roller coaster of horror and thrills, and then you got some humor like mixed in there, and it's just a fun blast.
And characters that you identify with.
Yep.
You'll have a good time. They'll have a good time. Everybody should go see.
Terrific.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.